For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, May the 27th, 1984. Memorial Weekend Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Art and Lily Johnson are the speakers of the morning.
I will praise the Lord at all times, and I will magnify His name. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Hallelujah. And Jesus is His name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's imperative that sometime this fall that we start in a small measure the school that has to be begun here. It's been prophesied since the beginning of this place that it was to be done, even before, but it's been prophesied many times to us. And Chuck Flynn tried very hard to get me to start something a year ago last January, but you can't do it until things are right. You just can't go do something and then you can't have something be a failure, you know, if it isn't done as it should be. And I don't have all the ability to do these things. I don't have all the know-how. We didn't know all the things that we've done so far, but we've just done them. And they've gotten done with the help of many that are here and others that aren't here. It has just gotten done. And these other things will also get done as we just keep moving on. You know, there's a lot to do here besides have meeting here these 3 days and then next June. In between, there's lots and lots of hard, hard work. It isn't all praise the Lord and hallelujah here. However, we do try to have a prayer meeting of a morning through the week at 8 o'clock and praise the Lord and come to a presence of the Lord. And some mornings there isn't as much presence of the Lord as I'd like for there to be and as there is at other times. But still, we're faithful. We're faithful to that which He's called us to. And we put our shoulder to the wheel. And the Lord says, He who turns back is not worthy. And it'll help every one of us to never turn back from that which the Lord has called you to and laid on your heart, that which to accomplish for the Lord. Don't turn back. And don't be discouraged in well-doing. There's a lot of things that's raised up around the nation that's come since we came here, and it's become a great thing with lots of things. And I pray to the Lord that it will continue and it will be blessed. But we've been faithful here just to prod and to carry on. We're not a big show. And I said more this morning probably about these than I've said in a long time. But it's on my heart. And I see the need. Oh, the need of God's people. The heartbreak of it. When you pray with people, as Steve and I did, and as Irma and I and others here do, you feel their problems and their troubles and their heartaches. And then your heart cries. Oh, Lord, help me to be a help to help. To my knowledge, I may be wrong, but to my knowledge, there's no place on the face of the earth that's dedicated to deliverance and the kingdom as God has called us to here. God has called us to bring the deliverance message combined with a working manifestation of the kingdom of God in the lives of His people. And we are determined to raise up a place where that will be taught. It's wonderful to go and be taught the faith message and to learn these things. But then it's necessary to put to practical use the walk of the kingdom and the work of deliverance, which is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the ministry of the Lord. And we have many ministers who write and call us across the nation and say, we understand what you say, but we don't know how to learn about it. They can't take time out and go spend 6 months in Bible school somewhere, even if there were a Bible school someplace that they could take 6 months and learn it.
that the Lord is beginning to show us and help us to put together a crash course in the teaching of deliverance and understanding of the kingdom, so that these ministers can come, spend 2 weeks, possibly 3, and they can learn and be practical and participate in deliverance services and teaching of the kingdom and why there's no rapture and many of these other things that the Lord has revealed and taught us here, and the heir of the traditions that we've learned from our childhood. There's many ministers whose hearts cry out and long to be able to understand what we talk about here, but they have no way of learning because nobody teaches them or sits down with them and discusses these things with them. And so we need your prayers that with wisdom we will be able to rightly divide the word of truth to these who are hungry, seeking to know. They know in their hearts that there's more and that they need more. And the hearts of their congregation is crying out for help. And they don't know how to help them. They don't know how to help themselves. And we still, truly, in all respects, ourselves, don't know how to help ourselves here in everything. We're not an end to the revelation of the word of the Lord. We only understand a little bit yet. I don't think we understand only just a smidgen of the word of the Lord that's coming yet. I'm open to hear what God has for his people and to walk in that revelation to the best of my ability to declare, thus saith the word of the Lord. And when we come to the place we're able to say, it is written, then do we have authority and dominion over all the powers of Satan. And then will we be able to put the last curse underfoot, the curse of death. And I believe that we have to come into that understanding and we have to walk into that light, and that it's up to us to be God's battle axe and to break the powers of these things and to put them underfoot. Amen. Well, I didn't intend to say even one-tenth of all of that when I stood here this morning. The Lord knows our hearts, and he knows the desires of his people, and he knows their hurts and their aches, and he knows that there needs to be a people across the nation who have compassion and will be able to feel the hurts of the people of the Lord. Lord, give us compassion and give us a broken and a contrite spirit before you. And I thank you for it. We had a marvelous presence of the Lord amongst us yesterday. And I believe that presence of the Lord was here because we spent time in actual prayer here yesterday morning before the Lord, praying and interceding before the Lord yesterday morning before the morning service. And I appreciate all of you who came and prayed. And when you come to this place, I want you to make it a habit to come in here and to make and become a prayer warrior, so that the presence of the Lord, so we drive back the darkness and release the light of the glory of the Lord over the manifestation of his power and presence in this place, as we push back the powers of darkness and put it underfoot and bind it up in chains to the day of judgment when God shall judge those spirits. Hallelujah. And now we'll turn the rest of the morning to the Johnsons and pray the anointing and the blessing of the Lord over Lily and Art, if he ministers as the Lord leads this morning, as praise the Lord. Lily?
I'm going to just share a scripture this morning before my husband comes that the Lord has pressed on my heart. You know, we've had a beautiful time here of worship. Did you sense the presence of the Lord this morning? Just almost caught up. He just was covering us. He was in us. He was over us. He was among us. He was in our midst. He's just filling us with his presence, wasn't he? And you know, it's because we drew nigh to him. It says if we draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us. And there'll be that wonderful flow. Praise the Lord. You know, over the last couple of days, we've been speaking about going on with the Lord and challenged in many areas. And it's good to be challenged, and it's good to hear the information and all that's involved in the next place with the Lord. But do you know how he draws us in? He draws us in with love. He draws us in when we worship him. These bands of love that we feel when we worship him helps us to let go, helps us to say, Lord, yes, I just to draw to thee, I want to be close to your heart. I want to be close to you. I don't know what it all means, but I want to be near you. I want to be very near you. And I'd like to just open up one little section of a verse in Job. I didn't think this scripture was in Job. I have read Job several times, but this particular scripture stood out some time ago to me. And it's in Job 28, verse 6. And it's about coming to that place in God, near to his heart, that place near to the heart of God. That's where there's perfect love. That's where there's no fear. That's where his will is always done. Isn't that right? Yes. Verse 6 says, the stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. Now, one translation reads, there is a place, the stones thereof are sapphire, and the dust is pure gold. And I'm going to just speak briefly about the place, the stones, the sapphire, and the dust of pure gold, just very briefly. What do you think that place is? There is a place. There is a place. That's the secret place of the Most High. Do you believe it? Yes. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide where? Under the shadow of the Almighty. There in his presence. There under his feathers. Under his wings. Very close to the mother-breasted heart of God. Close to his mother heart. There is a place. This is the place. This is the holiest place of all. This is all the way in, where he's everything. And we are totally swallowed up with all that he is. Total union with him. There is a place. There is a place. And you know, I want it. Does your heart long for it? I can tell Brother Glenn's does. And we're here to remove every hindrance. That's one of the purposes of deliverance, is to remove every hindrance that would hinder us from apprehending that place in God. This is not a literal place. This is a realm in the spirit with him. Not in a somewhere in a distant age. This can be right here. Now, praise the Lord. So there is a place. There is that place. And it says the stones thereof are sapphire, and the dust is pure gold. The stones. Who do you think are the stones? That's you and me. We're the stones of that place. We're the living stones. If you look over in Revelation, it talks about the stones of the city. And it says the foundations are precious stones. I want you to know you're precious. You're precious. He says, when I come to make up my jewels in Malachi. That's right. We're his jewels. We're precious stones. Precious stones. You know that word precious is not used too many times in the New Testament. It's used concerning the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus. We're not bought with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but we're bought what? With the precious blood of Jesus. That word is not used idly. So we are precious stones. So in that place are precious stones. Praise the Lord. They are the living stones, the temple of God. Let's go on for a moment. It says the stones of that place are sapphire. Sapphire, I believe, is the second or third one mentioned in the book of Revelation. It's interesting. These stones were... You can follow the stones from Genesis, the stones there. You can follow it in the breastplate of the high priest. The sapphire was there. And also in the foundation of the temple. From Genesis to Revelation. Those stones that he chose in the beginning, he's going to have at the end as his very own. His precious stones, tried and true. Praise the Lord. Something about a sapphire. One of the qualities of a true sapphire is that it's transparent. And that means nothing in our heart to hinder the flow of light. Transparent. My husband was sitting with some of the ministers at the table the other day, and several of them said, I want to be transparent. Nothing in me to hinder the flow of light coming from the Lord through me
to my people. Hallelujah. That what I present when you see me, this is what you see. You see the real person. I don't have something out here and someone else inside. Do you know one of the sins of the curse, one of the great problems with the curse, is that man learned, he didn't learn to hide, it became part of him. He hid from God. He hid from Eve. Adam hid from Eve. And do you know people have been hiding ever since? It's a result of sin. Didn't it say that when God came looking for Adam in the garden, it says he was afraid and he hid. That's right. A transparent person, we don't have to hide. You know why? Because there's nothing to hide. It's all been laid out there. I was talking to my Daniel this morning, and he says, you know, one of the things I like about this place, he says, that you just feel you can be who you are. That's right. That liberty, that atmosphere or environment in the spirit where, hey, we can let it be exposed. It needs to be exposed so it can be dealt with. And you know what? God doesn't love us any less. He's known it all along. And no one else loves us any less. Praise God. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for a place like this, Brother Glenn. So the sapphires of that place, of those stones, will be transparent. How many here want to be transparent? I do too. You know, it's a strain to keep on a mask. It's a strain to keep on a facade. You have to keep adjusting it all the time. That's right. That's right. That's what part of Adam and Eve did in the garden after sin. They made for themselves fig leaves. They had to hide themselves, cover themselves with something they had made. It says an apron. What was it? I can just imagine her kind of keeping that thing. And it wasn't for the body, although maybe it was, because of shame fell on the whole being. But we're still keeping our fig leaves on. God's taken down those fig leaves that we made for ourselves, and so he can clothe us with his righteousness. Praise the Lord. That's ours. We don't have to keep pulling it up and adjusting it and redirecting it or whatever. Praise God. So there is a place close to the heart of God. The stones thereof are sapphire. And it says the dust of that place is pure gold. Now, in the book of Revelation, it says that not only are these stones in the foundation, but that the street of the city is pure gold, pure as transparent glass. So not only is the gold, is the stones transparent, but the gold is transparent, highly purified. But it says here that the dust of that place is pure gold. And I wondered what that meant. Praise the Lord. You know what that means? No hardness of heart. Hardness of heart is one of the great sins of Christians. Not only the world, but Christians. Hardness of heart. Do you get that once in a while? Hardness of heart. You know, there's a process. It's called pulverized. The word in the Bible, there's a word for that, and it means contrite. The word for a contrite heart is a pulverized heart, one that has been ground down to dust so there's no hardness. Not ground down that you're stepped on, not that, but the hardness has been ground down and there's just dust. And the dust is pure gold. Isn't that exciting? That's part of what he's doing. Is he not? Praise the Lord. That's the kind of heart that we want. Soft, compassionate, tender before God, that reaches out to other people, touches their needs, feels their needs, aches when they ache. It says Jesus was touched by the feelings of our infirmities. For years I knew he was touched by our infirmities, but it says he was touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Did you ever feel nobody could understand you? Nobody ever felt like you were feeling? Maybe they sort of understood your problem, but they didn't feel where you were. Well, Jesus was. And Jesus in you and I, when we have that heart like he has, will feel how other people feel. That's right. And they'll sense that love. They'll sense that compassion. I sense it from some people ministering here. Sense it through our brother here. Sense it through different ones who minister here. They ache when people hurt. Praise God. Praise God. So the dust of that place is pure gold. Praise God. And do you know, he's the one that brings us there. He brings us into that place. He's the great high priest. Wasn't the high priest who went in? He's the high priest who brings us in the priesthood of God. Say, Lord, I want to be in that place. I want you to deal with my heart. I want to be totally transparent because I love you so much. I want to be near to your heart. And those who are going to be near to his heart are going to have hearts like his. You know, I looked in the book of Revelation, and those that stand around the throne and see his face, they're not going to be strangers to his face, are they? No. They're going to be those who've been longing and seeing him and beholding him, right? That's right. It's not going to be some sudden thing that all of a sudden God's going to choose a certain group of people. These are those who've been walking in it all along, and then it comes to fullness. Praise the Lord. You know, when all is said and done, it's him that we're after. Are we not? Him. Praise God. There is a place. Remember that. When you come here, come into his presence. Near to the heart of God, the stones thereof, that's you, are sapphire. Say, Lord, in your presence, I want to be transparent. The dust is pure gold. He says that heart that the world does not admire, is the heart that God admires. He said, a broken and a contrite heart I will never despise. That's what he looks on when he looks on the heart. That is the ones that God looks for, broken and contrite heart. It's a principle of the kingdom. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, we ministers live dangerously. This morning, Daniel, as we were dressing, said, you have to hurry up. It's time for church. I said, we're hurrying. He said, what are you going to speak on? And I had to be honest with Daniel. I said, I didn't know. He says, you don't know? And I thought for a moment, I had something prepared for this morning. And I asked Lily, very rarely do I ask Lily what she's going to share on. And she said she's going to share on doxology. And I said, well, that's interesting. That's maybe appropriate for a Sunday morning in a church, and that'd be fine. She came up and she shared entirely something entirely different. And then Glenn was talking about his little visit to the beautiful garden and saw her creation and our dear sister who sang and led in worship. She was talking about her getting herself alone in the woods. And then Daniel whispered in my ear what he wanted me to share on this morning. And now you notice something? The Lord had already told me that I was to change what I had prepared. It's anointed, but if it's anointed, it will wait. What we have to do is to flow with the Spirit of the Lord. There are so many spirits of the Lord, but this beautiful peacefulness of this Sunday morning, it's just flooding my soul with that sense of peace. And I don't want to lose that flow of the current. We have a sister here from Canada, and I was thinking about Canada just a few moments ago. You know, there are many wild currents in the brooks and the rivers up there. And sometimes if you stay right in the midst of that current, you're going to make great progress. And as soon as you got out from that channel or that mainstream, you'll get into eddy currents and you'll go around in circles and you don't get anywhere. And so when you come into a service, and we have many ministers here this morning, what you want to do is to stay in that current and try with God's help to just go in that channel so that you can be that channel of blessing. Well, Lily spoke about the sapphire and the precious stone and the dust that's like gold. I haven't ministered on this subject for many years, and I have to come back sometime and minister on it. But the Lord gave us a beautiful teaching and understanding about the 12 stones on the breastplate of the high priest. We have a completed Jew here in the audience, a young man who is a Hebrew Christian. And I was thinking someday I would love to just get him alone and tell him the story about that breastplate of the high priest, that each one of these stones have a particular characteristic, and that each tribe that was engraved on that stone had a particular character quality, and the stone and the quality of that tribe was the same. Oh, my, what a thought. And if you start to look at it, you see that those 12 stones, the very center of it, takes the shape of a cross, which points to Christ. Beautiful. But I can't talk about that either this morning. As our brother said yesterday morning, that's another sermon. Praise the Lord. But I want to share something. We were talking about these precious stones. And I think a few days ago, I started to share how the Lord is taking us as lively stones, chipping away at us, shaping us up, conforming us to that chief cornerstone, which is Christ Jesus. He even starts to polish on our lives until that master stonemason, under the washing of the water of the Word, under the pumice, says, Glenn whispered in my ear, it takes fire. Yes, it sure does take fire. But under that pumice that comes out of a volcano is the polishing compound for the surface of our lives. And when the master stonemason polishes that stone, he takes his hand and he wipes the residue off of that stone and he looks in and he knows that stone is completed when it sees the reflection of himself. And that's what we're doing here. We're hoping to come together, allow the Lord to work on our lives, deliver us, chip away at things that are not pleasing unto Him, polish our lives under the washing of the water of the Word. You know, every time we have a deliverance, there's a void. And that void should be filled by the Word of God flowing in to fill that emptiness. It is not surprising that one place, one geographic location, stands not only for deliverance, but a deeper message of God's Word. Because as Satan leaves that void of our life, we are to be filled with his Spirit and with the washing of the water of the Word. And then we will have a defense, a mechanism built within us to prevent Satan from ever taking back the ground that he has given up. Hallelujah. But you know, speaking of these lively stones, I made the reference that it was part of the temple, because the outer stones were, the outer walls of that temple were made of stones. And that speaks about a 30-fold relationship. It speaks about our salvation experience. Because we came out of a miry clay, and those stones came out of a quarry or out of miry clay. They were cleaned up, brought to the temple site, and then the processing of the Lord, the chipping away and the polishing takes place, and they're placed into the walls of that temple. But that doesn't end the story there, because there was two other ingredients that went into that temple. The inner walls were lined with panels of a very special kind of wood. And then, thirdly, the third part of that temple was pure gold, because some of these panels of wood were covered or inlaid with pure gold. Do you know the area of those panels of wood is a fascinating thing. And this morning as I talked about the woods and sitting on a stump and praising the Lord, and Glenn gave a beautiful vision of seven chapels built in that back 40, I believe that will take place. That would appear to be the simplest thing to do around here, is to build seven chapels. Praise the Lord. I can see that happening. In my mind's eye, I can see the trees round about to be a cathedral in God's creation. Praise the Lord. But you know, the Lord could choose, and as He gave the instructions to David to accumulate the materials and to Solomon to actually build the temple, He could have said, use any kind of wood. Make sure it's strong or something like that. But oh no, God's is very specific. You do it only one way. You do it God's way. And there's not a color. There's not a number. There's not a thing in God's word that is by coincidence or by accident. There's a meaning to all of this. And you know, of all of the, maybe 99% of all the wood in the world has sap running through it. And it could have been beautiful wood. There's teak and mahogany. There's valuable black walnut. There's all sorts of marvelous woods that could have been used in that temple. But all of those woods have sap running through it. You know, years ago, I used to own a lumber yard. I used to be in the designing and building of homes, and I owned a lumber yard. And I bought carloads and truckloads of lumber. And all the lumber I usually bought had only sap running through it. In fact, most of the customers and people I met in life had pretty sappy people. But every once in a while, I would meet a different kind of a person, and I would sit up and take notice. And likewise, in the forest, there is one tree that the Lord told them to use, which doesn't have a single drop of sap running through it. It has nothing but oil running through the cores and the fibers of that wood, and that is a cedar of Lebanon. Now, that's beautiful. And this speaks to us about that second stage, that 60-fold level of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We can never have too much of the Spirit of the Lord in our lives. No matter how high our revelation comes, we always come back to the very basic of having more oil flowing through every fibre of our body, a greater anointing of God's Holy Spirit. And so Solomon used the cedars of Lebanon that were arranged for and brought to that temple site. Now, it's interesting to note which cedars of Lebanon they used. You say, Brother Arnett, a cedar of Lebanon is a cedar of Lebanon. Oh, no. It depends upon where it grows. This morning, all over this land, there are Pentecostal and charismatic churches that are meeting, and they are cedars of Lebanon. They have understood something about that 60-fold realm. And they have oil flowing through their beings because they are baptized in the precious Holy Ghost. But you know, cedars of Lebanon grow deep in the valleys. And they can grow very close together. And their roots very much entwined. And they'll grow very straight. And they reach for a little bit of sunlight. S-O-N-L-I-G-H-T. But there's a lot of dead wood on those cedars of Lebanon. Have you ever walked through a very dark, deep, thick forest? You can hardly see the sunlight, but oh, what a lot of dead wood that you see. Deadness that the sun has never been able to penetrate and bring alive. And you know, the Lord never used those cedars of Lebanon. He didn't even use the cedars of Lebanon that grew halfway up the mountain where they had more chance to expand and to grow and to mature. He didn't use those cedars of Lebanon either. He used the cedars of Lebanon that grew high up on top of the mountain where every wind and storm that the enemy can push against that cedar of Lebanon would force that cedar of Lebanon to turn and twist in the storms of life. When I come here, I see all of those cedars of Lebanon who are isolated places in God-forsaken places and towns and villages. They don't know why God has placed them there. And everything that Satan had put against them, they just twist and turn in the storms of life. But praise God, you know what it does? It activates their roots, so their roots go firmer into the rock. Hallelujah. And as the roots get firmer entrenched in the rock, more oil is generated and flows through the fibers and cells of that cedar of Lebanon. Oh, hallelujah. And lubricates it so it'll never crack or break in the storm. No matter what Satan will put against you in the weeks and months ahead, that oil will just flow through your fibers, lubricating you so that you'll not crack under the stress and the strain of the storms of life. I like that. And do you know one thing that happens in those storms? All of the dead wood falls off. Praise the Lord. Deliverance takes place and the dead wood falls off, only to fall around the trunks of those cedars of Lebanon to become humus for the tree to grow to greater maturity. What Satan has planned for evil, God will turn to good. And it'll be greater because of that experience. And do you know something about wood? As you see a knot in a wood, as you look at these panels, you'll see knot holes, or not holes, but you'll see an emblem of a knot on it. That's where a branch came out. That's where a piece of dead wood was snapped off and the tree grew around it and just left that little scar, that little remnant to show that there once was a branch or a piece of stump in that area. And do you know, the character of wood is beautiful to examine. The wood that grows in the valley is very plain, very thinly grained, has no character. I'll guarantee you one thing about Lake Hamilton, you will find characters here. Because there is character in people. People who have gone through the storms of life have character in them. They have tasted and seen a bit of life. They've been hurt, perhaps. They have been bruised. But my God will use those people to build his temple. They have character. They have determination. They know who they are. And they want to know more of who they are. And they want to be used by God in the temple of the Lord. And do you know, when those panels come down and are sliced of the natural into planks, the fragrance of that anointed oil fill the temple. Hallelujah. And you know, we have a fragrance. I'm not talking about something that comes in a spray can that we use in the morning. But we have a fragrance of meeting each other. We know that we're part of a family of believers. Praise the Lord. I talked on the phone to a young man some time ago. Never met him before, but I could sense the Spirit of the Lord on him. He's Vicky's husband. I met him this weekend for the first time, and I got a real witness. Whee! He's my brother. You see, what is that? Praise the Lord. You sense that. There's a sweet fragrance that comes over a telephone. So it's not an odor that you can detect with your nose. Hallelujah. There's a fragrance of us who are blood-bought, spirit-filled, and flow with the oil of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And you know, it would be great if that was the last stage. That's the 60-fold. Many of us who might be investments might say, hey, that's a great deal. I like to invest and get a 60-fold return. But those who are overcomers, those who want the whole ball of wax, those who want to go all the way with the Lord, there is a 100-fold. And in Solomon's temple, he even had a type and a shadow to show you that. And that is that some of these beautiful planks that line the walls of that temple were covered with pure gold. Now, that's interesting. Pure gold, as Glenn just whispered to me, takes fire. Yes. As Lily talked about the dust, it takes a crushing to get out the pure gold. She doesn't know this probably, but in mining operations, are you aware, Lily, that they crushed the stone to get the gold? I didn't think you did. They crushed stones, and the gold will separate, and then they will float the stones. You say, float the stones? Well, they'll put the stones in water, and guess what sinks to the bottom? It will be the gold, the pure gold, the dust, gold dust, they call it. Praise the Lord. But do you know that the Lord covered some of these planks with pure gold? That's why all Pentecostal people that you meet don't have a vision or an understanding of the Lordship of Christ. They don't have an understanding of that 100-fold realm. You see, we can know him as Jesus, the Savior. Beautiful experience. That's the 30 realm. We can know him as the Christ, the Anointed One. That speaks of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the 60-fold. Or we can know him as Lord of our lives. And that's the 100-fold. We so glibly say, Jesus Christ, my Lord. Oh, my. There's big divisions between that experience and the next one. Do you know how gold is refined is a marvelous sight? All metal is like this, whether it's a plumber who's melting some lead to fit up a joint, or if it's a steel man who's melting some iron. But do you know it's interesting how that cast iron or rough metal ore comes to a foundry or a smelting location, and it's put into an earthen vessel, and we are earthen vessels, and then the Lord will put on the heat. And he'll put one burner on, and some impurities will rise to the surface. a little bit like a deliverance service. All of a sudden, something comes to the surface. Praise the Lord. And you started with an instrument, and he wipes the surface of the metal, so these impurities that have come to the surface can be scooped away from the precious metal. But do you know he doesn't stop that? He puts another burner on. Oh, Lord, I've gone through that. I don't have to do anymore. I don't want to go any further. But he'll put another burner on, and the heat gets a little tougher, and more impurities come to the surface. Oh, honey, I didn't know that was in you. Ah. When the heat's applied, things will start to come to the surface. And those impurities are also drawn off and taken away. And a third burner and a fourth burner. And all of a sudden, that master foundryman knows when that particular metal is pure. When he looks at a particular instrument, it looks like a mirror that's placed over the surface of that molten metal. And he looks into the surface of that molten metal to see if there's any impurities left. And he knows that that metal is pure when he sees the reflection of himself. Hallelujah. And while we are in that molten state before the Lord wants to give us very precious gifts. He wants to infuse in our spirits alloys, strengthening gifts from God. And as he infuses those alloys into our system, it changes our characteristic to make us better persons. We have a master machinist here who works with metals, and I'm sure he can tell by just working the metal how much of one alloy or another is in that metal, because they give different characteristics and have different uses. God forbid if we stayed all of our lives as cast iron. Cast iron has all sorts of impurities. You can make a block for your engine, an automobile engine, out of cast iron, but you have to keep the antifreeze in there to make sure it doesn't crack with a temperature change. You women might have a skillet made of cast iron, but don't drop it on your patio or on a concrete floor. It will shatter. There are many people in our churches that are like cast iron. Oh, don't irritate Sister So-and-so. She's very fragile. Uh-huh. Don't talk to Brother So-and-so. He will just crack up on you. Yeah. Impurities. They can't take too much. You come here and you meet people who have taken things and taken things and taken things, meaning they have been abused and hurt and bruised. But God will pour out the oil. He will heal the hurts and the wounds. And he will pour in alloys to strengthen them to do the work of God that he wants to have done. And he'll take the foolish to confound the wise. Praise the Lord. So there's hope for all of us, including Lily and I. You see, he doesn't want to share his glory with anyone. He wants to show, even in the vessel that he uses, that a miracle can take place. I like that. And he can use us, every last one of us. And you know, when all of these impurities come out, in that particular smelting or deliverance operation, whatever you wish to call it, do you know in the natural, they put all of these impurities into a little bit of a railroad car with a hopper bottom that will pour out all these impurities. And they will take it down a long railroad track and dump it in the deepest, darkest pit, never to be seen again. And that's a lesson to us who are in the afternoon deliverance services here, that as the impurities are removed, they are to be dumped into a darkest, deepest pit and never to be brought up again. Never to be talked about again. Never to be discussed again. Because it's something God sovereignly has done, and we, praise God, have just been the instruments of deliverance. Oh, praise the Lord. We can give testimony of what God has done, and that's important because there's power in the testimony by saying, this occurred to me. But the idea of blabbering it all over is not always of the Lord at all. It's a personal thing that takes place in your life as you are delivered and the Lord is purifying you and making you a vessel fit for his use. And so this morning, as we come to a close of this morning's service, I want you to consider yourself what the Lord is doing in your life. If he's chipping away at you as a lively stone, praise the Lord that you're being processed by God. If he is isolating you when you seemingly are growing and maturing high up on top of the mountains, bloom where you are planted. Be fruitful where you are planted. And God will honor that. You be faithful and a good steward of small things, he will give you the responsibility and stewardship of greater things. If you want more of the Lord, just allow the Lord. He's a perfect gentleman. Allow the Lord to apply the heat in your life. And you too will become like pure gold. And the impurities will rise to the surface until you get so annoyed with those impurities, you say, Lord, I have to get delivered with that. I just can't stand that thing anymore. And when you are desperate enough, God will meet you and that deliverance will take place. And that impurity will roll away and you will be set free. Praise the Lord. And you know you can be that person that God wants you to be. I believe that this morning. And then you can be transparent, as Lily spoke. Transparent as gold. It's interesting in Revelation that they talk about gold being transparent. I don't know too much about metallurgy, but I heard that scientists have put the formula of gold into a computer to see if that biblical verse is proper. And even though we don't have the technology yet to do it, they say it is theoretically possible to purify gold so it will be transparent. Whee! I love that. You think there's anything in the Bible that's wrong or a lie? I think scientists will eventually back up a lot of things that we take by faith, but that we know and the scientists have found out are true. And that's why we are transparent with one another. I shared last night and someone commented to someone else here that it was such an easy type of a feeling that came across because I was just sharing and talking about an experience in the Lord that I had. That's the area of transparency that we're trying to achieve in our lives. Don't get us wrong. There's a lot of areas in all of our lives that God is still working on. I used to wear a button and it says, be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. And you know, we all can wear that kind of a button because God is not finished with any of us yet. But as we submit our lives to the Lord, as we gather together, as we worship together, as we attempt to touch the throne of God in a precious way in praise and worship, he will meet us and he will deliver us and he will make us living epistles read of men. So we will come out of this place and be able to be that witness and that testimony and to be fruitful where he has planted. Praise the Lord. Let's rise and have a word of prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank thee this morning, Lord, for that balm of Gilead that we have felt here this morning, that sweet, peaceful presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank thee, Lord, for the words that have been spoken and the praise and worship that has gone forth. Lord, we thank thee for the vision that Len has shared with us. Without a vision, my people perish. And Lord, we thank thee, Lord, that he is a living example, Lord, of pressing on and pressing on. And Lord, may none of us ever look towards retirement, Lord, towards an area where we feel we are no longer useful. But Lord, may we press on to the high calling in Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we are lively stones, may you keep on working on us, polishing, chipping, whatever processing has to be done. And Lord, as we are cedars of Lebanon, Lord, may all the storms that life will bring our way, Lord, may our roots go firmer into the rock so that more oil is generated, so we will not crack or break in the storm. And Lord, may you be able to use our lives in such a way that you will cover us with pure gold and that we too will have gone through the purifying fires and be a better person for it. And Lord, from the youngest one to the oldest one here, Lord, I ask thee, Lord, that we get a new vision for the rest of our lives. Amen. Amen. Sit down for one moment. I have one more thing I want to share, and then I'm going to turn it over to Glenn. You know, I had a quick thought about age, and I want to share that about it. You know, sometimes people worry about themselves getting older, and that can happen at any age. I talked to our young television technician back there, and he says he's retired. And I look at his usefulness, and I say, oh, the Lord is going to use you for many things in the future. Maybe even a tape ministry like this. I visit with older people. When I say older people, they're 65 or 70, and they're very content to sit on a chair and just to be cooperative in the church services. But I want to tell you that there is a work to be done for every person of every age bracket. Not just letting Glenn do the work around here, but there's work for every age bracket. And I tell you what happened to us. Lily and I had been corresponding with a minister in Baltimore who we were extremely impressed with. He had a vitality and he had a book ministry, and he didn't speak very much. At least I never heard of him as a speaker, but he was a full-time minister for the Lord. And I said, someday, Lily, I hope to meet him. I don't think he's very young. He writes in a peculiar script. He wrote all his letters longhand, and he would put a little bit line through the seven. You know how you write a seven and you put a little line through it? And I said, my grandma used to do that. He must not be a young man to write that way. And I finally met Brother Ernest Chase in Baltimore. And he looked like he was in his early 60s. And his wife was equally well-kept little gal. And we started to talk. And you know, after a while, we ministers have very little small talk. We started talking about the Lord almost immediately. And he started to share some things and experiences he had. And he started to reminisce about Watchman Nee, when Watchman Nee was a young boy. And I looked at the man, and I said to him, I was nudging Lily, and I said, can you hear what I'm hearing? She says, yeah. And I said, I'm determined to find out how old he is. So I said, Brother Chase, I said, how many years have you been in the ministry? Oh, Brother Art, he said, I've been in the ministry over 30 years. Oh, I said, that's interesting. Praise God. How old were you when you started your ministry? And he laughed just like you did, and he went like that to me. And he says, you know, that's an interesting story. He said, I have been a lay preacher and minister since I was a young man. But to help support the ministry, I took a job and was just as diligent on my job as I was in the ministry. And they were good to me on that job. And I got raises and promotions until I became a very influential person in the corporation. I was an executive of a high rank. And all of a sudden, after walking in divine health, walking in divine prosperity, he said, I got stricken ill. And I was devastated. And the company sent me to three specialists. And each of those specialists says, this man's life is over. Pension him off. Give him his full salary for the rest of his life. He will not be living too much longer. And he said, you know, Brother Art, they pensioned me off. And they gave me my full salary with cost of living index raises for the rest of my life. And he says, that was 30 years ago. When I was 62 years old, he was 92 and going on all burners. And do you know? That's an example to every older person here. There is no retiring in God's kingdom. If our brother yesterday morning said we're going to live forever, well, praise the Lord, let's live beyond the age of 65, 85, 92, that serve the Lord to the end of our days. Praise the Lord. Brother Glenn, you come and close the service.
The Lord showed me a long time ago that he promised us 70. He promised us that. But he put no top on it. There's no top on it. That's a guarantee if we believe it. That's just the earnest, see. And Moses had 120. And if Moses has 120, then we can all claim 120. Amen. And we can walk into the kingdom. Amen. Well, and Elijah. That's right. They walked into the kingdom. And they're an example. And Jesus walked into the kingdom because he put death underfoot. And we can walk into the kingdom. I believe that. Well, this afternoon at 2:30, we will have a deliverance service. Tonight at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow morning, we will have another deliverance service. We will close this series of meetings with a deliverance service. And I guess they're standing back there ready to service already. So
We'll stand and pray over the food and enjoy it together in fellowship and come back at 2:30 to expect the Lord to help us in areas that we feel bound and need help in. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that which you're revealing unto us by your word, and that which you are hiding in our hearts, and we're hiding in our hearts, and that which you are showing unto us, Lord, that lays out there for us to take hold of and to claim. And Father, I for one, am laying claim unto that. Now, I know that Satan's going to come and do everything he can, and he already has, to try and kill us many times. Father, we're going to rise above that in the name of the Lord and put it underfoot. I thank you for health and strength in all of our flesh. Help us, Father, to do that which is right so that we will be entitled to health and strength. Help us to live right. Help us to work right. And help us to eat right. Help us not to be rebellious, Lord, at the ways that your word tells us to eat, so that we may have health and strength in all of our flesh. And I thank you for it. My Father, bless this food to the nourish of our bodies. Make it health and strength to us. And I praise you for it and bless those, Lord, who prepared it. We thank you, Lord, for all those who've labored and who labor to work in the kitchen, Lord, and work back there around the stoves and the heat and in the sinks and washed in the wash water. Bless them, Lord, for because of them we're able to be refreshed. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.